Okay, today's daf Kuf Yud Dalid. We're on Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis on the second, on the bottom line. Maskef Lo of Rabba of Chaga. Today's shiur is sponsored by Ari and Aliza Ginsburg, Leila Nishmas Rachel Bas Moshe, and it's also sponsored Leila Nishmas Ari's great grandparents and the whole family that came from the town of Tiktin in Lita, and that town was unfortunately destroyed by the Nazis on Rosh Chodesh Elul. The entire town's yortzeit Rosh Chodesh Elul, and we'll be learning for them the entire week. Okay. Maskev Lo Rav Chaga. Rav Chaga asked the following question. The halacha is that when we make a determination about a loan, so we said that certain items are off the checklist, right? You owe me money, you didn't pay, so I can go into your house, I can take your extra pair of pajamas, but I can't take your pajamas. That I can't take. You're entitled to have pajamas. Tefillin, I can't take these things, right? So Rav Chaga asked the following question. V'lei malei, why can't the lender say to the borrower, lav olai karamas? It's not my job to support you. Who made me in charge of you? You owe me money. Pay me the money. You don't have any money? So sell your tefillin. What can I tell you? Who made me in charge of you? So, Amalei Abaya. Abaya says, Ibri, you're right. Olai karamim mishum shenemar v'locha tiyet tzedakah. You're right. You're right. In theory, there's no reason why you should be responsible. Why are you? Because it's tzedakah. L'chatiyet tzedakah. The pasuk says that specifically regarding giving back a mashkin. So what do you see? That is this issue of tzedakah. even though garbage. Oh. Okay. The next. Even though we said yesterday that there was a machlokes, not a machlokes, even though we said yesterday that it was pretty much understood that the idea of deducting certain items from what you could seize to pay off a loan was modeled after Erechin. Now the Gemara asks, is that really true? Ibay Elohu. Maushi Yisadru B'Balchov. What's the story here with making up a checklist for Balchov? Mi Gamar Micha Micha Me'erechin Olo. Do we make a gzera shava of micha from erechin or not? The word micha comes from the word mach, which means poor. So do we make such a gzera shava? By erechin we know we do that. Do we do that by a loan? Tashma. Bring a raya from the following story. The shalach ravin begarta. Ravin sent a letter. Davar zeh sha'alti l'chol rabosai. I asked everybody this question. V'lo amar li davar. Dava'olam amar li davar. Nobody answered me. Bar, however, kachoy tashayla. Here's the following question. Omer, Harelai Mana Lebedek Habayis, if I am donating money to the Bedek Habayis is not an Erech vow. An Erech vow is I'm giving the value of X, Y, or Z. And a Bedek Habayis means I'm giving a donation to the Beis HaMikdash. So we might have misspoken a little bit yesterday. An Erech vow, you only have to pay it if you have it. If you don't have it, you don't have to pay it. Strange vow. A Bedek Habayis vow, I'm donating money to the Beis HaMikdash. You have to pay it. You don't have? When you do have, you'll pay. So if somebody donates money to the Bedek Habayis, Mahu, Shiyisadru, do we make a chesed what we're going to sell to pay off that debt? Rav Yaakov, Mishmei Dur Bar Padav, Rav Yirmi, Mishmei Dur Ilfa, Omri, Kalvachomri, Balchov, it's a Kalvachomer. Ma Balchov, Shamach Zirin, just like a Balchov, which you have to return the mashkin. Ein Misadrin, we don't make such a thing. Why don't we make such a thing? Rashi says, because we're holding like a Ringam Leel, we're going to sell it in 30 days. So, Hektish, Shein Machzirin, you donate money to Hektish, you don't get that back. Ein Odin, Shein Mesadrin, shouldn't there be a din that we do not make such a checklist? Tosfos asks, right? It's a Kavachomer. Tosfos asks, can Kavachomer is that? We have an Erech vow. An Erech vow, we do make such a Cheshbin, right? Ketad Nitin Lilmo Kalvachomer Zeh. How can we learn such a Kalvachomer? The Hare Din Erechin Yochiach. Erechin will prove otherwise. Why? She'ein Machzirin as a Mashkin. You don't return the Mashkin. Ubalchov Mesajr Lechayev. Ubalch Ubikol Makom Mesajr Lechayev. We do make such a checklist by Erechin. We do. So therefore, then go over Mimenu with Kol Nechasav. And so Tosfos answers, Einachinami, it's true we do that, but Erechin is much more makil than a Bedek Habayis vow. You know why? Tosfos says, a little bit of a stretch, because Erechin doesn't apply to a goy. If you say, I'm going to give the value of Joe the goy, there's no such thing. Or someone under 30 days old. Or a tumtum, or an androgynous, all these types of people, there's no such thing as an erech vow. So even though erech has this maila, it's still more meiko. Why? It doesn't apply to everybody. I donate money to the Berak HaBayis, that applies to everybody.
Okay. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan says, neder be'erkecho ksiv. No, it says neder be'erkecho in the same pasuk. Ma erechin misadrin, av hektish misadrin. No, just like we make a checklist what we're going to seize regarding erech vow, we do the same thing regarding a Berak HaBayis promise. The idach, and the one who holds we don't do that, what to do with this pasuk? Ha'hu l'nidon b'chvodo huda asa. He comes to learn from this halacha that you are judged b'chvodo. What does that mean? That means if you donate a limb that the life cannot live without it. For example, I'm going to give the erech vow of my heart. What does that mean? That means you're giving your entire body, your entire erech. If you say you're giving the erech vow of your pinky, you can live without a pinky. That might be considered nothing. But if it's something that your life is totally in, your brain, your heart. Rashi says, I think the liver. Rashi says, no, not Rashi. Rashi might say it somewhere else. Ma erech yidonah b'chvodo, af hektish yidonah b'chvodo. So just like erech, we have such a din. If someone says, I'm going to give the erech value of my heart, he has to give his entire erech value. Why? Because his whole nefesh is totally in his heart. So too, if someone promises, I'm going to donate the value of my heart, you have to donate the value of your entire person. Unlike, let's say someone says, I'm going to donate the value of my pinky. So, what Rashi says, if someone says, I'm going to donate the value of my pinky, what they'll do is, they'll see, how much is a guy worth, how much would he be worth if sold on the market, on the slave market, with a pinky and without a pinky. That's you have to pay the difference. When it comes to a vital organ, we don't say such a thing at all. Okay, you okay? Okay. Now the Gemara is just going to go through various Kal Vachomers till we get to the bottom of the page. Now the Gemara says, V'yisadju b'balchov, we will make a checklist for a balchov, meaning what we're going to seize from him, Kal Vachomer me'erichin, a Kal Vachomer from erichin. Ma'erichin she'ein machzirin, just like an erich vow. You don't give that back. You don't get back an erich vow. You promise. You don't get it back. You promise to pay the money. You pay the money. Nevertheless, misadrin, right? We decide how much the guy has. Balchov, shemachzirin. He gets it back. He gets back the loan. He gets back the mashkin. Ein adin shemisadrin. Shouldn't it make sense that we make such a list, right? The following question is raised. The question is raised by the Namuke Yosef. The Namuke Yosef asks, wait a minute. What do we return? What mashkin do we return? We return a pillow, pajamas, things he needs, his plow, whatever. Right? Why do we return those? Well, he needs it. Right. What? It's a basic necessity. When it comes to erech, we don't take that to begin with. The whole Kal Vachomer is backwards. We say, oh, just like we do that by, we make such a list by erech, so too we should do it by a balchov. But by a balchov, we give it back. The whole thing doesn't make any sense. So the Namuke Yosef answers, no, we're talking about $1,000 shirt. Who needs a $1,000 shirt? You have a $1,000 shirt, right? You can use a different shirt. You don't need a $1,000 shirt. Therefore, when it comes to an erech vow, we will take that shirt. Why? Who needs a $1,000 shirt? Take the shirt. I'll buy you a $100 shirt already. Gorgeous shirt. I have $900 now to pay off this debt. So we will take your item. It's not so simple. Okay. Next. Amar Kra. So the Torah says, "V'yimachu me'erkecha." Who v'lo balchov? No, I would make such a gzeir shava. I would make such a one in theory. However, I don't. Why not? I have a pasuk. The idach. And what does the other man, the Amar, do with this pasuk? Hi, adchem b'muchuso mitzchilasa v'yatzofo.
He says, "No, this pasuk teaches me that you have to be poor from beginning to end. If at any point in your transaction you get money, of course the din will change." Now the Mishnah says, "If yachzeru behektish, it should be that according to Rabbi Yochanan, who said that we make such a checklist by hektish, we should have to also return hektish. We should have to return it. Yachzeru behektish." You should return anything Hektish takes, they should return to you. Why? We don't make a checklist. Why not? Because we're going to sell it in 30 days. Nevertheless, we'll seize your item. Machzirin. You come up with the money, you win the lottery, you get all your furniture back. Why? You wanted to pay off the debt. So Hektish, Shemesadrin, that we do such a thing, Eino Din, Shemachzirin, shouldn't we return the items? Amakra, no. Veshachta v'samlaso, uverachecha, yotze Hektish, Hektish is excluded, she'ein sarach bracha. Hektish doesn't need a bracha. The whole reason why we return items to a person is because we want to make them good. Bracha. That doesn't apply by Hektish. The Gemara says, v'lo, ay, v'oksev echalte v'svat uverachta. Right, you bench Hashem. Hashem does have a connection to Hektish. Ella, Amar Kra, no. Ulchatiyat tzedaka. It says ulchatiyat tzedaka. It's a tzedaka to do this to somebody. To what? To take his item. No, that's not a tzedaka. He has to pay a debt. Then he calls up with the money. Give it back. It's a tzedaka. Yomi shetarach tzedaka. Yak to Hektish. Ein shetarach shetzedaka. Hektish does not require tzedaka. Why not? It just doesn't. Okay. 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 Now we have an absolutely fascinating, fascinating story. Unbelievable story. Ashkeche Rabba Bar Avuha l'Eliyahu. Rabba Bar Avuha bumps into Eliyahu Anavi. Where was he? Dekai b'beis hakvara shel ov dekochavim. He was in a graveyard of Goyim. Okay? That's where they bump into each other. Stop right there. What? Right, what was he doing in the cemetery? I don't know. Now, I have to make an introductory statement. There are many times in Shas where people bump into Eliyahu Hanavi, and they ask him halacha, like right here. They're going to ask him a shaila. And he's going to answer it. Okay. Rabbi Rachana just bumped into Eliyahu Hanavi. Many times in Shas, we find Eliyahu Hanavi around, and people ask him shailas. There's a story in Brachas, in the first week of Brachas, where they've made Eliyahu Hanavi, and I said, I learned three things from Eliyahu Hanavi, about davening and a churban, the whole thing. So, but don't we say that Torah is lo b'shamayim? Don't we have such an idea? What do you mean? If a Baskel comes out and says XYZ, we don't have to listen. Eliyahu Hanavi says XYZ, we don't have to listen. Torah is lo b'shamayim. What's going on here? Not the first place it comes up. You have it all over. Right? What's the answer to that question? That question never bothered you?
No, we had an answer.
What's the answer?
He
did? I don't think he ever gave this answer. This answer is an unbelievable answer. Not only that, there's a Gemara in Shabbos that says... The Gemara in Shabbos had a suffix. You're allowed to write Torah, a Torah or a mezuzah or a tefillin, have to be written on the hides of an animal. What about the hides of a fish? Is that a mutter thing to do? Can you write a Torah on the hides of a fish? And the Gemara there says, the Rav Nachman said, Im yavo Eliyahu v'yomar. If Eliyahu Navi would come and say, dot, dot, dot. Doesn't finish the sentence. So the Gemara asks over there, Ma im yavo Eliyahu v'yomar. What does that mean? Rashi there explains, Eliyahu Hanavi's not allowed to be machriya itzer v'heter, right? He's not allowed to be machriya net.
Why?
Torah is lo b'shamayim.
Okay, so what's going on here? Okay?
So the Maariv Chayis answers, you're right. Eliyahu Hanavi is no greater, you're right, Torah is lo b'shamayim. All Eliyahu Hanavi is an opinion. So, I can hear what Eliyahu Hanavi has to say. I can hear what the Baskel has to say. Do I have to agree with it? No. I'll listen to it. If it makes sense, hey, that makes a lot of sense. If it doesn't make sense, I can reject it.
His words are, Ach Poshet. Shem Yovel Yovel Venosei Tam V'raya L'dvarov. He gives a raya. Ain't no gerua Mishachach Mehador. He's not any worse than any other chacham sitting in the Beis HaMedrash. She Yechol Machriyat HaHalacha Al Pi Tzvara Sehem. Not any different than that. Right? Since over here, Eliyahu HaNavi gives a reason, he's accepted. He's repaskal like that. Why? He makes a lot of sense. Chassam Sofer gives such a fascinating answer to resolve this dilemma. What's the dilemma? On the one hand, we see that Eliyahu HaNavi, the Gemara says, Lo Bashamayim. On the other hand, we follow him. So the Maariv Chaim says, well, it depends if it makes sense or not. Chavad Chaim says, you ever go to a Bris Milah, we say that Eliyahu HaNavi appears at every Bris Milah. Right? What about if a Bris Milah is on Shabbos? If a Bris Milah is on Shabbos, how does Eliyahu HaNavi come to the Bris on Shabbos? What's the problem? There's a Trum problem. There's a Trum problem. By the way, you think you're laughing. The Gemara says that the reason why Mashiach cannot come on Shabbos is because Eliyahu HaNavi can't come because he's outside the Trum. Why? Because he's in Shemayim. So how is Eliyahu HaNavi coming to herald the announcement of Mashiach? He can't come on Shabbos. So how can he come to a Bris Milah? Never bothered you that kasha?
No.
Never bothered you?
No.
Now that you hear the kasha, what do you think?
So, there's a need for it.
Huh? So what? There's a need for Mashiach too, no?
Mashiach can come the next day.
He can come the next day. What? Every day of Golas, right? Right? So B'nai
Yisrael... There's a mitzvah to do with what's it called? There's a mitzvah to do Bris Milah on time. There's a mitzvah to do come Mashiach on time.
What do you mean? The B'nai Yisrael told Moshe, we'd rather leave Mitzrayim one day early without all the Shavach and not all the riches than make us wait one more day for the riches. Right? Every day of Golas is torture. So, what's the answer? So the Chassam Sofer gives us such an unbelievable answer. He says, there's two types of Eliyahu HaNavi. There's Eliyahu HaNavi as a malach, and there's Eliyahu HaNavi as a person. Eliyahu HaNavi never died. He's both. As a malach, he's not bound by rules. He's not bound by any rules. As a person, he is. He comes to a Bris Milah as a malach. You don't see him. Not bound by any rules. As a person, he's bound by the rules. Therefore, when he comes as a person, he feels like you and me. Torah's Lo Bashamayim. If he comes as a malach, Torah's Lo Bashamayim. If he comes as a person, Torah's Bashamayim. That's why the Ben Yehuda is going to ask. That's what everybody's going to say in a minute. They're going to have a whole discussion. And then, Rabbi Avrochon is going to say to Eliyahu HaNavi, aren't you a Kohen? What are you doing in the cemetery? In other words, if you're a Malach, it's not a Kasha. Why? You're not bound by Torah. You're a Malach. But if now you're a person, you're dealing with Halachas, what are you doing in the cemetery? You're a Kohen. Unbelievable answer, no? Unbelievable. Okay. That means that Eliyahu HaNavi is coming to announce Mashiach as a person. What? Oh, so the Gemara is going to ask that question. So, Amalei. So, Rabbi Rachana says to Eliyahu HaNavi, Nu, Mahu, Shitaju B'Valchov. This is what he asks him. You meet Eliyahu HaNavi, you have one question to ask him, this is what he asks him. So, when a Valchov doesn't pay his loan, can you go in and take stuff out of his house? Do you leave him his pajamas and his tefillin because he doesn't need it? What's the halach about that? So, Amalei, what do you mean? It's a Gzeir Shava. Gamar, Micha, Micha, Me'erchen. We have a Gzeir Shava, Micha, Micha, Me'erchen. If he's poor from his erech, what does that mean? He's off the hook. You got to make a list of what he needs. Gabi balchov ksib ki yom hachicha, right? And then a similar separate halacha menayin la'arum shelo yitrom. How do you know a person who's not wearing any clothing is not allowed to give off truma? Dichsiv lo yera b'cha ervas davar. They make a play on the words ervas dover and ervas dibor. You can't say dibor of being machrish truma when your erva is exposed. Okay, amalei. Now that this happened, what kohen will be mar? Aren't you Eliyahu HaNavi a kohen? What are you doing in a cemetery? My timer koimar bebeis hakvaras. What are you doing in a cemetery? Right, amalei. No, okay, we'll stop right here and here we go. Okay. Now, Tosfos on Amud Aleph says that even though there is a raya, even though the Gemara says over here
Eliyahu HaNavi is a Kohen. Why is Eliyahu HaNavi a Kohen? Who made him a Kohen? Because Rashi says it. Rashi on top over here says, because the Ikalamanda Amar, the Eliyahu, who Pinchas. Eliyahu is Pinchas. Pinchas, the grandson of Aharon, is Eliyahu HaNavi. Because it says by Pinchas Tiksiv Bay Kina Kinothi, right? He was very zealous. Jealous for Hashem, the Chema Pinchas Bikano es Kinothi. So the same Lashon. There was a tradition that Eliyahu Navi is Pinchas. Which is why at a Bris Milah we say Psukim from Pinchas. Why? Because it's the same person. That's Rashi. Rashi says it right here. Tosfos brings a Eliyahu Rabbah that says that a bunch of people were sitting around. Pamachas, Hara, Rasenu, Yoshevim, Vorim, Mehekin Eliyahu Ba. Some said he came from Bnei Leah. If he came from Bnei Leah, he could be a Kohen. Right? He could be from Shevet Levi. The Mehen HaYomrim Mizaro Shel Rachel. And some said Eliyahu HaNavi is from Rachel. And what happened? Eliyahu HaNavi showed up at this discussion and said, I am from Mizera Shel Rachel. So Tosfos points out it's a machlokas. What? We did? No, I don't know who Eliyahu HaNavi is. But I'm saying, the Gemara here says that Eliyahu HaNavi was a Kohen. Tosfos points out there's other midrashim that say not like that. That Eliyahu HaNavi said it was from Bnei Rachel. Okay. But we say, what's the downside of saying those talking about a Bris Milah? What's the downside?
Nothing.
Right. And what's the downside from the Chassan Sofer's Torah? Right. Okay, so if you hold it was a Kohen, we have to answer the following question. How did he come to a Bris Milah? Right, all of a sudden he shows up. You look at Malach HaMalach, all of a sudden he's there. There's no history. All of a sudden, there he is.
The whole show he's gone.
Right. I know. It's a good question. Right. And he brings a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim that Eliyahu HaNavi is from Sheva Binyamin. The pasuk says in Divrei Hayamim Aleph Ches Chav Zayin Va'adashah Ve'Eliyah V'zichre B'nei Yerocham. That's Eliyahu HaNavi. In that pasuk there in Binyamin. Okay. What? A Gilgal of Eliyahu? No, of Pinchas? No, why would that make him a Kohen? Just because you're a Gilgal?
It does make him a Kohen.
Right, right. Okay. Right, so Tosfos the Rosh points out, one of these regressions, they both can't be right. Okay. Now, there are at least three answers to the following question. We know, if Eliyahu HaNavi is a Kohen, we know that Eliyahu HaNavi went into the house of the Isha HaShunamis. Is that who he went into? Is that the house he went into? No, not the Shunamis. No. The son of the Almana, who died, and Eliyahu HaNavi brought him back to life. How could he go into the house? He's not allowed to go be Matani himself. There are at least three answers to this question. No, you don't like the question?
The Rishonim deal with this question. Right?
Question.
What?
It's a good question.
So, Tosfos answers that Eliyahu, this is a fascinating answer. Tosfos answers Eliyahu HaNavi knew that that he would be able to revive him. And it was a shaila of Pikuach Nefesh. And Pikuach Nefesh is Docha the Ifr becoming Tame. It's not the big three. Right? You hear this? It was Pikuach Nefesh. And therefore, it's Docha the big three. Docha everything, except for the big three. Being Tame is not one of the big three. Eliyahu HaNavi was allowed to go in.
The Netziv asks on that.
What if it was a suffix to Kuach Nefesh? In other words, we hold that a suffix to Kuach Nefesh is also Yikivim Tame. You can also be Michal, anything. For suffix to Kuach Nefesh, that's not the big three. Right? That means if the medicine has to come from an Avodah Zarah tree, you can't take the medicine. Although, right? Because that's the big three. It's Avodah Zarah tree. The medicine comes out of that tree. We're going to get to that in Sanhedrin. You're not allowed to take that medicine. But if it's not from that big three, you can do anything. So here, Tosfos seems to say, because it was a vadai, that he's going to revive him, he was allowed to go in. What if it was a suffix? Then he wouldn't be allowed to go in. That's a shayla. Other than that, how can I be pikuach nefesh? He's already dead. Can you have pikuach nefesh on someone who's not even alive? Is it a kasha? You can never imagine such a kasha.
You know?
What?
with Elisha and Isha and Shunamis.
Yeah.
Ahead of him.
What? I don't know. So that's what the Tosfos the Rosh answers, that Hashem told him to go in. So you don't say no to Hashem.
Right.
And the Sheet, the Megabetis answers, he wasn't really dead, the boy.
Right.
He was almost dead. Yeah, that's a Shiloh, because he's not allowed, a Kohen is not allowed to even go into a room with a ghost ace.
Right.
Because we're afraid he's going to die. So either way, you have to find answers. Okay. Next. Amalei, Elio Navi answers back to Rabbi Barchana, lo masni mar tyrus. Haven't you learned the text of Tyrus? Or Seder Tyrus? Haven't you learned Seder Tyrus? The Tanya of Shimon Nechai Omer, kivrege shel ovdei kochavim ein metamin. The graves of non-Jews are not metame be'ohel. They are metame be'touching. They're not metame be'ohel. Therefore, I'm allowed to stand here. Right? Shenemar, like it says, vatein tzoni, tzon marizvi, adam, atem, adam, Atem Kruin Adam. Only you, Jews, are called Adam. The Ain of the Kachavim Kruin Adam. Other nations are not called Adam. This din of Tame with Ohel only applies to a Jew, not to a Goy. So I'm perfectly entitled to stand there, says Eliyahu Hanavi, because I'm a Kohen. Right? Now, like I said, if it's
no, what?
That's the question. What's the question?
He didn't say that he is. He just said, don't you know Allah?
Right. In other words, assuming I'm a Kohen, I'm allowed to be here. Right. Why? If you're Yisrael, there's no issue of Tumah.
But he's not saying that I'm allowed to be here. He's just saying that don't you know the halacha?
Right. In other words, that's his way of answering. Don't you know I'm allowed to be here? Don't you know that the halacha, that there's no such thing as Tumah's ohel by a goy? Now, but Tumah's maga and masa, there is such a thing as ohel by a goy. There is such a thing as Tumah by a goy. You can't touch a goy. You know, anybody who touches a mace who's a goy will become Tumah. Right? So, everyone asked the following question. Why wasn't anyone afraid that, why wasn't Eliyahu Hanavi afraid that he would touch maybe a bone that picked that you know, got exposed, or some other thing he'll touch? So why is he so meekle? Maybe he'll touch a bone there, he'll step on it, and then it'll become Tame. Why aren't we afraid of that? So the Ran says, he knew there was no bone over there, there was no reason to be choshesh, not to be some achmir. That's the Ran. The Ran gives another answer in the name of the Urayim, that the dinim, sorry, whole lump of the Hilchas Tumah, the dinim of Tumas Maga by a goy are like Tumas Nevela, and a coin is not Muzer in Nevela, but the Tosas Rid gives the following answer, which goes against everything we've said till now about Eliyahu Hanavi at this moment in his life. Tosas Rid says that Eliyahu Hanavi was floating. Why was he floating? Because he was a Malach. And therefore he wasn't touching the ground at all. It's not even a kasha. Everything we said before was that he was not floating because he was acting like a person. So you have to reconcile that. Okay. Amalei, so Rabbi Bar Bachana answers back to Eliyahu Hanavi, nah, barba lo matzina, b'shisa matzina. I have a problem learning four. For what? I have a problem learning four, the four siddurim that we learn. What are the four siddurim? Moed, Nezikin, Nashim, and Kodshim. Right? That I can't even learn. You want me to learn Tyrus and what's the other one? Zroyim, which are not even halacha l'maisa? I have a hard enough time learning the four we do have to learn. Rashi says, not here. Rashi says it he does say it here. That he says, what's kachim? It's not halacha l'maisa anymore. He says that by kachim there's a maila, that if you learn it, it's ke'ilu you did it. We don't say that by other things. Well, if you learn hilchas shatna, it's ke'ilu you makayim. We don't say that. But if you learn Hilchas Kachim, it's Ke'ili Yimakayim Kachim. So it had a little bit of a halacha l'maisa relevance, b'zman hazeh. But Tyre is not, and Zrayim not. I can't even learn the four I have, let alone the two that we don't have to learn. Amalei, v'amai, why not? Why can't you learn? So Amalei, so he told him, Dachikali Milsa divare, Dabre. I'm sorry, Dachikali Milsa. I'm too poor. I don't have the means to learn. So Dabre, he went. Eliyahu went, Falil le Gan Eden, and he brought Rav Avrahana into Gan Eden. Amalei tells him, Peshot Glimach, take off your shirt, Safi Shikol Mahani Tarfi Safa, and go collect all the leaves. Collect the leaves that are here in Gan Eden. Shakal, he was starting to collect the leaves. Kiavi Nafak, when he was about to leave, Shama, he heard, the Ka'amar, someone said, Man Ka'ochel La'alme Karaba Baravua. Who is,
Is there anybody, man ka'achol la'alma ka'abar avua? Is there anybody that's going to get schar like ka'abar avua? Is there anybody? In other words, Rav Bar Avua is losing his schar in Olam Haba by relying on a miracle in Olam Hazeh. He's taking Gan Eden leaves to make himself, to, I don't know, sell them, whatever, but look at the schar that he's going to get, be getting in Olam Haba. So when he heard that, Nafak, he left. He didn't take him with him. Shadnihu, and he dropped him. Afilu Hachi, nevertheless, Aisi L'Glime, Sachat Glima Recha. The his clothing smelled so fragrant from being in Gan Eden. Zavne betracer Alfred Dinri. He sold it for $12,000. Palginhu lechas nevuse, and he gave it to his sons-in-law. Right, not from himself. He gave it to his sons-in-law. They needed support, and he gave it to them. So the Ben Yehuda asks, wouldn't it have? It's a very strange way of saying it. Wouldn't it have been made more sense if whoever said it, whatever malach, whatever person in Gan Eden said, who has the schar like Rav Avua? Wouldn't it have been much more made sense to say Rav Avua achal la'alme? Rav Avua is depleting his world.
It's
consuming. Wouldn't it have made more sense to say it as a statement? Rav Avua, you're depleting your share in the world to come. Why? Because you're taking on this world. Right? We had that story. Chinam Mendoza said, anytime an ace happens to you, it depletes your world to come. Why? Hashem has to pay you back here.
Yeah, but doesn't it make more sense that you're using the schar that you have set up to make more later on?
What? You have to take a few steps backward to go forward.
Exactly.
Right. So I guess they felt that Rav Chana really could have gone more steps forward, even without having to take a few steps backward. That's the only thing I can think of. Now, wouldn't it have made more sense to say Rav Avrahana is depleting his share in the world to come? Why does it say who is the one that's depleting his share? Why does it say it like that? Right? Why is it formed like that, like a question? So the Ben Yehuda says, unbelievable answer. Don't we have a story of Yosef Mocher Shabbos? That this guy was such a proponent of Shabbos. Every kid knows the story. And he one time he had that jewel, and he lost it, and the fish ate it, and it showed up, and then he got that fish. Why? Hashem paid him back. He's depleting a share in the world to come. What's the answer? That's not an ace. Hashem gives you the bracha in a normal way. It's a freak thing. Unbelievable freak accident. It's not an ace. The odds are against it. When did the lottery have a niece? Right? The odds are... Yeah, sticking your hand out the window and having gold coins fall into your hand at the Aruch Hayim HaKadosh, that's a niece. That happened. We believe that happened. When did the lottery have a niece? The odds are very, very unusual odds. The odds are against you. Right? Oh, getting the fish that swallowed the pearl, the odds are against you. It's not a niece. Right? Hashem orchestrates such a way where, hey, what? Luck. It's luck. What we call luck. Not such thing as luck. Unbelievable. What a lucky turn of events for me. Right? Is that luck? So, the Yehuda says, Rabba comes to Gan Eden to take his schar. And he goes and he's going to take this schar, these leaves, whatever this magic is, whatever this priceless stuff is. That's mamish. You're coming to deplete your share in the world to come. You're taking your schar out of Olam Haba and you're taking it out. Who would do such a thing? Right? That's what the question was. It was such a kasha. Right? You know what I'm saying? When people say, oh, I have so many kashas, how come things happen in this world? So when you get to Olam Haba, there won't be a kasha. Not that your kasha is going to be answered. It's not going to be a kasha. Right? Same thing over here. These people are sitting around in Gan Eden. They couldn't believe what he's doing. What is he doing? It's not a statement. It's not an answer to the question. Why are you are depleting your ship? Why would someone do this? Right? You're worried about your schar? Hashem will provide for you in a way that's normal. But to come take it away straight out? Right? So it seems that Yosef Mocher Shabbos did not lose his none of his share in Olam Haba was depleted. Why? Because Hashem gave it b'derech hateva. Unusually, but b'derech hateva. It's not an ace. Gold coins falling from Shemayim is an ace. It's not an ace. It's unusual.
But to mamish go into Gan Eden and take out your schar, who would do such a thing? That's what he asked in the question form. Unbelievable, Ben Yehoyada. Unbelievable. Okay. Next. Okay, back to earth. Torah Rabbanan. It says in the Torah, V'im ish oni hu, lo tishka v'avoto. That if he's an oni, you can't sleep with his pillow. Why? Because he needs the pillow. So you have to give it back. What? Ha'ashir tishkav? And if he's rich, you can sleep with it? Meaning, isn't that ribbis? You're getting extra benefit from the loan. So the Gemara says, you're right. No, you don't sleep with it. You can keep it in your bedroom with you, but you can't use it. But you don't have to give it back. My karma, Amar Rav Shishachi karma. V'im ish oni hu, lo tishka v'avoto etzlecha. You can't even have it next to you. Ha'ashir shachir v'avoto etzlecha. But if he's rich, and he doesn't need your pillow, you don't have to go back every night. We're going to have tomorrow. What kind of nonsense is this? Every night to bring it back and forth? What's the whole purpose of that? Every night to bring it back and forth? That's so silly. We're going to have tomorrow reasons why you do it. You don't want the guy to ever forget that he owes you the money. Every morning he's got to come and drop off that pillow. Every morning. He shouldn't forget he owes you the money. The next night I'm going to bring it right back. It's so foolish. No. It's a reminder. It's embarrassing. Every morning I've got to go to the guy's house and drop off my pillow. Every morning. I've got to pay this debt already.
It's a good thing.
It's a good thing, exactly. So you're right. He's rich. He doesn't need the pillow. But you can keep it in your bedroom. You can't use it. Of course not. It's ribbons. You get an extra benefit from a loan. But you can keep it with you. If someone lends money to his friend, you're not allowed to give a mashkin, and you're not allowed to return it. And you're over on all these averis. So what does this all mean? This doesn't make any sense. Mike Amar. Amar, here's what it means. If somebody lends money to his friend, he's not allowed to take a mashkin. Via mashkin. What does that mean? He's not allowed to take a mashkin. He's not allowed to take a mashkin? How do we read that? Oh, it means he's not allowed to take it himself. He has to have Bezin go do it. He can't go into the house himself. That you're not allowed to do. Bezin has to do it. V'im mashkino. But if you did go in yourself, chayav lachzir lo. You have to return it. V'over b'chol Hashem v'talalu. And you're over all these averis, that's aseifa. If you did take it, you chayav on everything. Rava Amar. Now, I read that braisa differently. Hachin kama. Here's how I read it. Hamavas chaveiro. Somebody lends money. Ein rishay lo mashkino. You're not allowed to take a mashkin. Meaning, by yourself. Bezin has to do it. V'im mashkino. And if you did, chayav lachzir lo. You have to return it. When is all that true? Shemashkino shelo b'shatz halva'asa. You took the mashkin not at the time of the loan. You woke up a month later. Hey, I want a mashkin. Aval mashkino b'shatz halva'asa. But if you took the loan, if you took the mashkin at the time of the loan, I want a guarantee. I want your gold watch. Ein lachayv lahachzir lo. You don't have to return it. Right? The over b'chol Hashem b'talalu. And what does it mean when it says you're over and over the averis? It's aresha. It's on the first part. Why? Because you don't have to return it. But what does that mean? Aresha? What? Oh, that if it's not at the time of the loan. If it's not at the time of the loan, then you're over and over the averis. Tanya of Shizbi Kamei Derava. It says in the Torah, Ad bo Hashemesh tishivenu lo. Zuksus laila. That's a pillow. Hashif tashiv lo es ha'avot. Kfar Hashemesh, when the sun goes down, zuksus yom. So that doesn't make any sense. Amalei di mama delaila lamali, but delaila bi mama lamali. Why do I need day things at night and night things by day? So the Gemara says, you're right. Amalei asmiye. Should I remove it? Should I remove this teaching because the teaching doesn't make any sense? Amalei lo d'hachikamah. Here's how we make it make sense. Ad bo hashemesh tishivenu lo. Before the sun goes down, return it. Zekusus yom shenitna lachbo. It was given as a mashkin. Balaila. Hashif Tashiv Lo. I read it wrong. I'm sorry. Hachi Kamar. Adbo Hashem Shivanu Lo Zuksus Yom. Right? Shenitna Lechbal Balaila. It's given at night when you don't need it. Hashif Tashiv Lo Zabot Kavar Hashemesh. Zuksus Laila. That's a nighttime one. Shenitna Lechbal Yom. It's given in the day when you don't need it. So, okay, fine. Very good. So tomorrow we will continue. Tomorrow is also fascinating daf tomorrow, and we will resume tomorrow. Everybody have a very good day. Yeah.